How many hours on average do Americans spend with their friends every week? In this week's episode of the Friend Forward podcast, I'm going to share with you what the research says about how much time we were spending together 10 years ago and how that compares to today. And then I'm going to share with you a little social experiment of sorts that I did for the first 3 months of 2024. I haven't shared publicly about it on social media. I've been talking about it excitedly with friends, but I think it's time to bring it to you here now on the Friend Forward podcast. Before we get into it, I want to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by Tell Public Relations. If you see everything we're doing here on the show and how this brand has grown through speaking engagements, book deals, media appearances, podcast interviews, and you have a personal or professional brand that you have been trying to grow, I encourage you to visit tellpublicrelations.com. That's T-E-L-L publicrelations.com to figure out how you can get support on getting more of the shine that you deserve. Now, let's jump in. The American Time Use survey finds that in 2013, the survey finds Americans were spending on average 6 hours a week with their friends. Today in 2024, so I guess about a decade later, we are now spending a little more than 2 hours a week with friends. That is a significant change. The next thought you might be having upon hearing that is, well, gosh, what are we doing with that extra time? Like, where did that time go? Here's the answer. Alone time. Because the average amount of time we're spending alone has skyrocketed since that time. Yes. I wanted to see what was going on and how my own life mirrored, if at all, what the trend was reflecting. So here's what I did. For the first 3 months of this year, January through March, I committed to trying to spend 6 hours per week in person with friends. For context, I have 2 businesses. I have 2 children under 6 years old. I often fly out of town for different speaking engagements and keynotes and stuff, all of which I love. But there are very real barriers to trying to make that happen. Okay, but I'm like, you know what? Let's just try. I'm going to give myself permission to have a week or a moment where I fail. I'm just going to try and see what comes up in my attempts to reach 6 hours a week. I want to share with you today a couple things that came up for me as I did this experience that I did not necessarily realize before this moment. So if at any point I say something that resonates with you and you want to unpack it further, please come send us a message on Instagram at friendforward. You know, I love a good voice note. And many of you have told me, hey, I'm actually not on Instagram, which is interesting how things are changing. You can visit us 24/7 at betterfemalefriendships.com through the contact page. So I know something I'm about to say is going to resonate with you, and I want to hear your 2 cents. Okay. So here we go. As I attempted on January 1st to start reserving 6 hours a week for friendship, it brought up a lot of things. Here's the first thing I was confronted with. In my very first week of committing to spending 6 hours a week in person with friends, the first thing that I was face to face with was my relationship to work. Because I knew that if I was going to find these extra 6 hours, they weren't going to magically materialize these additional hours. I was going to have to take them from what I already had. And I realized that that means work has to stop at 4. I can't work on the weekends. The work that I do early in the morning, late at night, all day long, squeezing in emails, would have to be reduced because it was getting in the way. I was confronted with how much time I spent in emails, going back and forth, creating content, prepping for work stuff, whatever it is, because I found myself thinking, well, I can't do it Thursday night because I have this for work, and I can't do it Friday morning because I've got this. And it made me think, well, hold on a second. The biggest barrier is work. Now, let me say this. I know all of our situations are different. Capitalism is so real. Many of us are in jobs where we don't have flexibility and autonomy, at least not in the ways that we'd like. I recognize that. But I'm just throwing it out there as the first thing that came up for me. How is my relationship with work directly impacting what I have to give to friends, not just in hours, but even in my mental reserves. You might remember an episode we did a couple months back specifically on how burnout impacts your friendships. It is one of my favorite episodes, straight up, one of my favorite episodes with a burnout coach who's incredible. Okay. I noticed this too. So my relationship with work had to change, not just because I needed those hours back, but because when I was expending so much of my energy doing emails and going back and forth and brainstorming for professional advancements and things like that, I didn't have much left in the mental reserves to show up for friends. Okay. So the first thing that had to change was my work life. The second thing that came up during this 3-month experiment was that I needed to change my relationship with feeling the need to be put together. I didn't realize how much I did it. I mean, honestly, if you asked me last year, like, you know, Danielle, are you into appearances or things? I'd be like, no, I'm not into all that. But when I knew I had to get in 6 hours, I started to think about like, okay, how often I'm trying to see these friends. And it felt like I had to get myself together to either go out and meet them or to invite them into my home. Like I had to prep and get ready for it. I had to get my outfit together for what I'm going to wear Saturday night. Or I had to get the house together before we could invite them over. I was spending a lot of time on prep, even with friends I am comfortable with. Looking together, washing and doing my hair, whatever that looks like that day. Getting the house together, telling the family, you know, my husband and kids, all right, y'all, at 6 o'clock, I need y'all to go in your rooms because I'm going to wipe this floor down and telling my husband, I need you to clean out the back patio. So much energy on preparing my personal self and my home to be presented to my friends. There was one week where I had invited a friend and her family over because I'm like, hey, if they come over and hang out for 4 hours, that will clock a good amount of time. Okay. So as I was getting food from the grocery store, I'm going up and down the aisles. I'm thinking through everything we might need. And I found myself going into the aisle with like napkins and dinnerware and forks and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, do we have good plates for everybody? I mean, maybe some of y'all are just adulting better than I am, but I'm like, do we have matching sets? Do we have everything? Is that chips? Do I need to get new plates? Oh wait, our napkins are kind of like, and literally I remember specifically being in that aisle in the public supermarket. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. I'm not spending money to make sure the plates match. I'm not spending money on this and this and that. And before she came over that day, I had washed my hair and I mixed up the time. I told her to come over the whole day. I was thinking I told her 3, but I guess I said 2. So the doorbell rang, my hair was still wet. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm not ready. And literally I had to open the door unready. And I think that was the best thing for me because I think offered a new layer of our friendship because she saw me not really made up, hair literally kind of still dripping. I didn't have matching plates, but there was something so freeing about it. And I didn't realize that I cared about presenting myself or my home in a certain way until I was confronted with it during this experiment, which kind of leads me to the next thing. Being able to be undone or just present myself without literally putting powder on my face or doing my hair or vacuuming the carpet first. The next thing it makes you think about is the people you're spending time with, because I don't know that I could do what I did with this particular friend with all of the people in my life. When you are trying to spend 6 hours a week with friends, you are taking time away from family, from work, from your personal me time, which means you become even more selective of the people you're spending your time with because time is a limited resource. So the third takeaway I had during this experiment is it really brought to the surface the people I want to spend time with. Because if I was directly confronted with the sacrifices, and I hate saying it like that because obviously times with friends are joyful, but you're also giving something up, right? Every decision you make, there's a cost. So if I'm sacrificing time, commute, money, energy, whatever it might be on this particular day to spend time with a friend, it made me selective. I'm only doing that with people whose company I really enjoy. I feel energized by, I'm interested in the developments of their life. You know, it's a good exchange. It's a pleasurable experience. I became more selective, ironically enough, when I was dedicating more time to friendship. The fourth thing that came up for me as I was doing this experiment is how, especially for women, I'm going to say especially for women here, how spending time with friends requires us to enlist the support of our community. Now, I thank God that I already have this, and I know there are some women who do not, so I'm thankful for it, and I see it as a privilege, truly. But I have a husband who is very, very active. We established, like, before we even had kids, we're going to be equal, and I mean it. And I told him, I'm not doing this parenting thing if you see it as something that I'm going to do on my own. He has been active from day one. It's not even a question. The reason that's so important is because whoever your community is, whether you're partnered or not, whatever, being able to spend time in community, especially if you're a parent. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Who's going to watch my kids? Now, sometimes, yes, we brought the kids. We invited the family. It was a family affair. But sometimes I need one-on-one time with my girls, okay, whether individually or as a group. But that requires other support systems to make it possible for you to lean into your friendships with other women. Sometimes you need alone time. What support do we have to allow us to be able to do that? And I realize if I want to carve out an additional hour, babe, you might have to do pickup today, or you're going to have to take the kids today because I'm going to go meet her at her house or whatever it is, but working as a team. And again, whether it takes the form of a partner or parents, what community support do you need to be able to lean into community? What needs to be taken care of? What barriers are there in terms of the obligations that you have on your plate that your community can support with, whether your form or your obligation take the form of actual children or whatever it is, but what obligations do you have that your trusted community can relieve you of so that you can enjoy social time with the people you care for or care about? That might be a major barrier to you being able to spend time with friends. I know it came up for me. Another thing that came up for me as I was doing this experiment is it made me start to prioritize friends who were in close proximity. I don't know how you're going to take this. I'm just sharing facts with you. But like when I was about 2.5 months into this, you know, and I'm like, okay, I just need to get my hours this week because I don't know how I'm going to fit it in. I'm going to be out of town the first half of the week. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. I found myself prioritizing the friends who were closer. Even if we weren't as close, because I didn't say I was trying to do this with all my super close friends, but with friends. Okay. So I found myself prioritizing friends who were close. So there's one woman who I met a year ago and we're like Insta friends, kind of chatting back and forth. But we've been hanging out with more. I'm going to put her name out there. Marla. What's up, Marla? Okay. We met, kind of were like, okay, cool. You know, she's nice, whatever. But I wasn't necessarily prioritizing her, which sounds bad, but there's so much going on. I wasn't prioritizing her. I was kind of like, oh yeah, I would love to hang out with her, but I wasn't doing the work of intentionally setting aside time, following up with her. I wasn't really doing it. But she lives about maybe a mile away. And so I'm like, you know what? We haven't really, really connected, but she's close and I could get some hours in at the park with the kids on Saturday morning. So I'm like, hey, you know, I know this might be kind of random, but would you want to go to the park with the kids tomorrow? She was like, 100%. I'm down. We have done that multiple times since then now. It's like become kind of like a thing. Like, hey, you want to go to the park tomorrow? Yeah. I don't know that it would cross my brain. That doesn't mean I don't think highly of this person. Marla's probably one of the women in my life who I admire most. Okay. She has a very strong faith. I'm inspired by that. She's funny. She's smart. She's down to earth. Right. And so I don't know that I would think to commit to like this routine with her because I'd be kind of going to my go-to established friendships and she's a new-ish friend, but I didn't have a sense of urgency. Let me word it that way. A sense of urgency. Like it would be nice, but I wasn't being intentional. But to clock those hours, I knew it would be a barrier to invite my friend who's 40 minutes away to drive over the bridge, or I have to drive to her and then there's traffic. So you start to prioritize people who are in proximity. And we did. And it feels easier. It's just easy. It's easy. Do you want to link up? You live a mile, maybe 2 miles away. So that came up for me. And I thought that was interesting because, of course, that gets me thinking about, you know, the decrease from what I'm seeing from, you know, certain urban planners and city planners that I follow, the decrease of walkable cities when there would be a time where you could just walk to your friend's house, right? It does become a barrier when I have to spend money on the Uber or catch the train or drive across the bridge or get into traffic to go and see my friend. you know, we've become increasingly mobile. I've got to get plane tickets, right? Because now friends are long distance. But to have the friend who's close and you could just be like, hey, what's up? I know sometimes it sounds harsh to be like, so long distance friends are forgotten about. That's not what we're saying at all. But when it comes to actually spending time together, you will find you're prioritizing people who are in close proximity. You will find a new motivation to say hello to neighbors. Hey, do you want to come over for coffee? Do you want to take the kids, you know, to the neighborhood grassy area to hang out? Whatever it is, that comes up too. Okay, I just think that point is really fascinating. It just like has me thinking even now. And the last thing that I'll say that came up for me was rethinking what hangouts look like. Because if your default is let's grab drinks, let's get dinner, that adds up. And so like the first 3 weeks, I'm not going to lie, my spending went up because I was like, okay, I'm going to clock 6 hours, but everything was kind of like going out. And I'm like, what am I doing? I can't keep this up. I'm just going to be totally honest. I was like, I cannot keep this up. And so I had to get creative. I had to get comfortable with having more low maintenance hangouts, which I'm a fan of. But again, sometimes we're just creatures of habit. I'm so used to saying like, oh, do you want to go to the brewery down the street that we love? Do you want to go to, I don't know, the park with the kid, whatever it is. Okay. We have our default things we do. We're creatures of habit. But after about 3 weeks into it, I was like, okay, I'm going to Target next, you know, tomorrow around noon. You want to come and fill me in about, you know, your medical thing that you were telling me about? You want to come talk to me about it while we shop around at Target? Okay, we had to get creative with things like that. Hey, do you want to take the kid to the park with some entrepreneur or business friends? It was, hey, do you want to co-work? You got to work. I got to work. You want to work in the same space and like between emails, chat each other up between meetings? So it made me get creative with what we did and add variety to the social backdrop upon which we were connecting. And with regard to budget, like, why are we spending money? Do you want to come over to the house and just split what we buy for food? I mean, like, this is what it looks like. And I got to tell you, I almost think that maybe I enjoyed those more. I almost think I enjoyed those hangouts more. I don't know. You can still hear me like reflecting as I'm saying it, right? So anyway, should we do some kind of like, normally I have my plan together before I share it, but this is coming to me now. I almost feel like we should like do a challenge this summer or something. What do you think? Like hashtag six with friends. That's a little cheeky. SIX, like a challenge of spending 6 hours a week with friends over the summer. And then kind of reflecting on what comes up for you. Oh my God, we're going to do it. I'm going to put the details in an upcoming newsletter. If you are not on the newsletter, I need you to go to betterfemalefriendships.com. There's going to be a space for you to join the newsletter. We drop the newsletter 90% of the time every Friday morning. I share fresh research every week. So it's not like a, you know how people like send newsletters periodically and it's only when they're selling something. Okay, this is not that. As your new official friendship coach, here's your homework. Listen closely. If next week you were to commit to spending 6 hours a week with friends, I'm not asking you to do it, but I want you to visualize. If you said, I'm going to spend 6 hours a week with friends next week, what are the first two barriers you would notice that would get in the way of that? I just gave an example of seven things that kind of were unpacked for me. What would you say are two barriers that would come up for you? What's getting in the way of you spending time with friends? And what could you do, at least for the things that are within your control, to minimize those barriers so that you could increase in-person time with friends? Come tell me about it over on Instagram at FriendFord, or come and visit me 24/7 at betterfemalefriendships.com. Until then, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey toward better female friendships. Until next time.